Hi, and welcome to Mouse Chat. I'm Lisa, and joining me today I have Sharpie, Chris, Lauren, and Steve. Welcome, everyone.
Hello.
Howdy.
Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Bonjour.
Bonjour.
Oh, we have an international flair. Oh, yeah, Steve's leaving us.
This is my last Mouse Chat show with the group.
Well, not like forever.
For a while. For like a month.
Forever.
Taking off for a month. So, I'm going to try to record some podcasts from Paris, and I'll add them as segments. So, they can listen to you guys, and then as a bonus little gem, maybe in the podcast, there'll be like a ride experience or a dining review or something from Disneyland Paris.
I can hardly wait.
I know. It's pretty exciting.
That's like, when I found out about there, I got a little like faint.
I know. It is. It's hot today.
It is.
Oh, boy. So much to discuss today.
Yes.
All right. We're going to start with some news. Woohoo. We've got a few things going on. We've got a lot going on around Disney. A lot of new offers. I'm a little stuffy again. Yes, I'm sick. So please excuse me. So we've got a lot of new offers. We have a lot of new things going on. And general announcements. I'm going to kick this off with Lauren, and she's going to tell us about some of the new offers that have been coming out in the last week or so.
Okay, so we have a offer for free dining that came out officially to the general public today. Lots of blackout dates. There are certain hotels that are not part of it. The dates are arrival August 31st to October 3rd, October 26th to November 1st, November 9th to November 20th, December 12th to December 23rd. Some of the hotels that are blacked out are All Star Movies, Port Orleans French Quarter, Riverside, Grand Floridian Villas, Campsites, of course, and all the three-bedroom villas are blacked out for free dining. Once again, just like past years, value resorts are getting quick service, and you can upgrade to the plus or deluxe, and your moderates and deluxe are getting free plus dining. And there's not a lot of availability left.
No. But can we talk about what we think is going to happen?
Yes.
Sure.
We think it's going to open up.
Right. Because they offered so little. Like, both Lauren and I know a couple of other agents, weren't finding anything at Art of Animation in the suites like the first few days in October, because free dining was available until October 3rd for that part of the month. And we just figured, you know, the suites you can always get because there's so many of them, and there was nothing. Like, and this was first thing in the morning. So they've got to open things up.
Yeah. Like Art of Animation suites, there was no inventory on it almost at all for all of the dates. But when you look at like regular priced rooms, rack rates, it's wide open. So I'm hoping they're going to release some more inventory.
Well, and the fact that they didn't open up French Quarter and Riverside at all is ridiculous.
Yeah. Riverside. And, well, they're almost pushing things out because you can't book a family of five anywhere except
right.
in two rooms or a deluxe.
Right.
Because
or
if you
suite.
Can't get a room in Art of Animation and All-Star Music
yeah,
Suites,
true.
I couldn't find anything.
Yeah, that's a really good point, because if you can't put them in a suite, you're stuck in two rooms at a value, or you're going to have to go to a deluxe. That's
right.
Or you sneak somebody in.
Right.
Chris.
But I didn't say I've done that, but
it's an
I'm
option.
Just saying.
But that's a big pain in the butt.
It's a huge, yeah, especially with magic
bands.
Because
now with the magic bands.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. It's a huge pain. I think they're going to have to come out with something else. This is what I think. I have this whole theory, and Lauren and I were discussing this a couple days ago, because we're such nerds. We talk about this stuff all the time. And my theory is Disney wants to get everyone booked and in on Disney property, because normally, you know, they don't offer it for the entirety of fall. They just offer for September and then for the rest of fall, right? So I think they want to get everyone on Disney property as much as they possibly can and create a bit of a, you know, frenzy over the booking, because they know they're getting competition from Universal. Universal's opening up that whole Harry Potter section, and Universal has what's basically a value resort opened up over there. So that's competition. It's not a ton of competition, but it's got to be some. So I think come July, which is when we usually see October through December open up, I think that's when you'll see more discounts come out. I could be wrong. It's happened.
Well, the existing free dining offer goes all the way through like November or December 23rd.
It does, 23rd.
Yeah.
It goes to the 23rd.
Which, by the way, the fact that you can get free dining through Christmas week.
Yeah.
Is crazy.
Yeah.
Something's going on. There's got to be a reason behind doing it completely different than they did last year. Last year, we got September on, what was it, May 4th. They gave us September free dining.
August 2nd, it came out.
Yeah, sometime in August, they gave us the rest of fall. And now they're giving us the entire fall that they've done it one other time.
And we know they're going to release more discounts between now and then. They're not going to just leave it as this.
So it might not be free dining. It might be one of those ticket and room discounts, which are pretty good. Those are usually pretty good. Or the stay play dine offer. Yeah. I mean, I had people who I couldn't do anything for. So they just were like, well, we'll just sit on it and see what happens.
Yeah. Now I have a theory too, though.
Oh, I want to hear it.
And I think I told you my theory. My theory is.
I'm sure you did.
I think that Disney might be taking after the cruises somewhat, in that they're going to try to fill up the rooms that go the quickest or that don't go the quickest. And then they're going to try to bump people to other areas. And then they're going to open it up again.
By bump, do you mean upgrade?
No, I mean they're going to try to fill the spots that they can never fill. And then they're going to open it up to the spots they can fill. They're kind of reversing the cruises. Does that make sense? Like, you know how when you book a cruise, if you book an inside cabin, like a year out, and then you wait until 2 months out, generally it opens up where the nicer cabins are cheaper. And then you can get the free upgrade almost.
Right.
And they let you
do that. And they can still sell those outside or those inside cabins,
right? I think Disney's reversing it almost. I think what they're doing is they're going to try to get people to book all the resorts that don't book normally. Coronado Springs, Caribbean Beach,
everybody hates it.
All-Star Sports, those All-Star Music, those are your last ones to ever get booked up.
Yep. That makes sense too.
That's why those have the most inventory right now, and everything else has very low inventory.
And when
you think
about it,
eventually that's going to open.
Well, and when you think about it too, and this actually happened to me last month. Last month, I tried to book a value about a month out for the trip that we took at the end of April, and I couldn't get anything. And then about 2 weeks out, they all opened up, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. You know, there was nothing before. And they all of a sudden they even had pass holder rates. So, I mean, they play with the inventory all the time and try to move people around.
Okay. So if someone wants to book free dining, they can contact a Pixie at Pixie Vacations. So you can also contact Chris Sharps, Chris Wood, Lauren. You can't contact Steve or Lisa. We don't do bookings anymore.
Well, you can contact us and I'll filter you through.
And we'll get you to somebody. But and they can book you on a free dining offer or book you on whatever discounts available. And then if a better discount comes out, they can move you to there. So you can just go to pixievacations.com, fill out the quick quote form there, or you can call us at 678-815-1584 or send us an email, or you can find us here on Mouse Chat. So there's a bunch of different ways.
Interesting. Yes. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that was it.
It's interesting because people have to remember that even if you didn't get a great discount this time, just keep watching because there's no penalty for changing to a better discount. I think one time, like several years ago, I had three different discounts on a room, not at the same time, but you know, first I got one and that wasn't as good as the next one and so on. So you can keep applying discounts and changing them.
Yeah. And like Chris said,
we've changed clients to at least two times before.
Yeah.
Two is pretty normal, I think.
Yeah, and like Chris was saying, we can switch discounts for you. You can't stack discounts, so you can't add a bunch of discounts together. You just
can't get an AP discount and free dining.
Yes, correct.
If only.
Yeah, pretty soon Disney's going to pay you to stay there.
I know, right? Yeah. They could do that. I'd stay.
The day that happens.
Mm.
All right.
Can dream, right?
Yeah. It'd be nice. Lauren, any other deals we need to know about?
Yes.
Woohoo!
Disney also put out a room discount, which is available for most days, August 16th through October 3rd. Value resorts are up to 20%, moderates up to 25%, deluxe is up to 30%, and villas up to 30%. And oddly, also the campgrounds up to 15%.
Huh.
The campsites, which I thought was interesting.
That's the first time I've seen campsite
discounts. That never happens.
I've never seen that. And I don't know if there's any blackout hotels on this. I'm sure Little Mermaid is. Little Mermaid's always blacked out on everything. On their website, it says only the three-bedroom villas and Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Cool. So that one's going to be pretty good. I was able to get a room only at Port Orleans, which, you know, during the free dining, which you can't get the free dining at Port Orleans. So, you know, that helps a little. It does.
Yeah, and we have actually special Pixie offers. So if you contact us, we can let you know what those are too. But we have special offers usually for most of the holidays. So I know
we've got a Labor Day special.
Yeah, we have Labor Day room only package.
And we've got Jersey Week, which is, Lauren, explain Jersey Week. Seeing as you're from Jersey.
Jersey Week is New Jersey Teachers Convention is usually the first week of November, and it's always a Thursday and a Friday. And it's also over Election Day, so most people have 3 days off that week. Some schools close for the whole week. But 90% of the people you see in Florida and Disney that week are from Jersey.
Yeah.
Reason to not go.
Hey!
I was going to say that, but I thought it was mean, so I didn't say it. But of course, Chris Wood did.
Sharpie, you just said it.
It's become so popular that actually Disney calls it Jersey Week.
Yeah.
So, but they always black that week out from discounts.
So we have, so we have our own Pixie Vacation exclusive offers with some great discounts for that week in November. And then, like Lisa said, for Labor Day. And we also have, I know we have the Grand Floridian.
We have a great rate on the Grand Floridian
in July.
Like $209 a night.
Yeah. If you want to stay at the Grand Floridian at $209 a night. And we have Coronado Springs, I think, in July. Nothing beats
that Grand Floridian one, though.
Maybe Coronado Springs.
Coronado's
is
over
Labor
Day.
We have Coronado.
And that's
over
Labor Day. The business class.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, the Coronado one is business class. And if you don't know what business class is, it's a, what is it, Lisa?
It's like a watered down concierge. Because you're going to get breakfast. They've got the breakfast set up for you. It's because Coronado is a convention resort, they offer this for convention people so they can grab a breakfast. Your location, your room is going to be close to the main building, which is awesome. So you have a preferred location. And then you also have drinks during the day. You can, you know, grab a drink, so I'm told. And then I need to experience this. And then in the evenings, you've got beer and wine, Lauren, and and appetizers and snacks in the evening. So it's a nice watered down version of concierge, but it's also pretty cheap. What is that one? That's $179 a night?
Yeah, it's either $179 or $189. You can give us a call and we can pull up the exact.
But that's for Labor Day weekend, and you know, $189. That's pretty cool. So,
yeah, so those are some good rates. So if you don't see a Disney deal public offer, we have some special Pixie offers that we can, if you fit the dates, we can book those for you too.
All right, Sharpie, you are up next, and you've got some Animal Kingdom news for us. What do you
Very
have?
Exciting Animal Kingdom news. Two big things. One big thing was announced, and one thing received further development. I'll go with the further development first because it isn't quite as newsworthy, but still yet. For the longest time, Disney had always said that they would not have a nighttime show or nighttime spectacular, as they like to call them. But recently Disney announced that they are going to be adding a nighttime show, and it is called Rivers of Light. It is from the concept art. It looks like it is going to be somewhat in line with World of Color, but it is going to have a fantastic animal theme. And I personally believe that this will actually take place behind the Tree of Life. I don't think it's going to be in the front of Tree of Life because I don't think they have the right viewing location and the right quantity of water in the front.
Yeah.
But I believe it's going to be in the back. But anyway, speculation aside, it is going to, of course, combine live music, floating lanterns, water screens, and as Disney likes to say, swirling animal imagery. Doesn't that sound exciting? So Disney also says the show will magically come to life. So I really do think that this is going to be a very, very cool addition to Animal Kingdom. So many people oftentimes say that, oh, Animal Kingdom's only a half-day park. And I personally get offended when people say that. Because
I want to
say it back to them. Well, you didn't see it right. Because
they don't know what to do.
Exactly. They don't know how to tour Animal Kingdom Park. It is amazing. If you run past all of the live animal exhibits and all of that stuff, you really are missing out on the essence of what Animal Kingdom is. Of course, you have all the fantastic rides and things like that. You have Expedition Everest. You have Dinosaur. You have the Kilimanjaro Safari. You have all of the really, really cool rides. But in addition to that, you also have the animal portions. So you have the two trails located in the rear of the park. But anyway, back to the topic at hand.
That'll be another show, Sharpie.
That's another show. My love for Animal Kingdom comes out very quickly.
It's oozing.
It's oozing.
You might want to grab a napkin.
I just love Animal Kingdom. Exactly. I'm like wiping my excitement off my face. But anyway, that was very bizarre. anyway,
cool.
So Rivers of Light is coming to Animal Kingdom. Like I said, they announced that a while back, but they definitely have really developed on that thought.
Yeah.
And added the new concept art and things like that. So go to various Disney news outlets, like our Facebook page, and see the new images and art.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's very cool because like you were saying, it looks like World of Color, and you know it's going to be several years down the road, and so they'll even take that World of Color technology and take it to the next level. And they have that giant, what is it, Rivers of America, or I don't know what the circular river is at Animal Kingdom that they used to have a boat ride on that they haven't had for years since it basically opened. So they have all that water just sitting there that they could do this with.
I believe that was called Discovery River, if
that's
I remember
right.
correctly.
I think you're right. So they have Discovery River, and they can do all this.
This is his park, Steve.
I know.
Don't mess
I just
him.
Know. I just know it's called something river.
Oh, that's
that's
good.
Pretty close.
That's
I knew there was a river, and it was called a river. There you go.
Which the funny thing is, I mean, and this is total Disney geekdom. Uh-huh. Jesse and I were at Animal Kingdom a few years, or we were at Walt Disney World a few years ago, and there were a few of the boats that serviced Wilderness Lodge that were out of service for renovation and repair and all of that stuff. So they were actually using the boats that used to traverse Discovery River on Bay Lake and the Seven Seas Lagoon back and forth between Animal Kingdom or Animal Kingdom between Wilderness Lodge and Magic Kingdom.
Ah, cool.
Well, those boats were so low because they were meant for like non-rough waters.
Yeah.
One of the very large ferry boats that goes from the Ticket and Transportation to the Magic Kingdom passed us, and it literally, like, we were in like the splash zone at SeaWorld. We got covered with dirty Bay Lake water.
No.
It was kind of gross and disgusting. But anyway, side story aside.
Yeah.
On to the new news for Animal Kingdom. The new news is kind of wedged in with this other news, and that is that Festival of the Lion King will be back up and running prior to or on June 7th, because Disney has announced Harambe Nights. It is going to be an absolutely incredible event. It is going to be an all-inclusive event, so it will have food. There will also be wine and beer included in the cost of the admission ticket. So they have set all of this up around the 20th anniversary of the release of The Lion King, which personally kind of makes me feel old. I was 12 when The Lion King came out.
Wow, that's making me feel old. That's when I did my work at Disney. Holy cow.
Yep, isn't that crazy? So, but anyway, getting back to the excitement, I just can't contain myself. It's going to start off with a welcome reception, and then you will move to the Harambe Theater, which if you have been to Animal Kingdom since last June, you will know that the new Lion King Theater will actually be located behind or adjacent to Tusker House. So you'll come across the bridge into Africa and make the left over behind that area. And it will be so you'll have the welcome event, you'll have the reception, and then you'll move to Harambe Theater for a private performance of the new show. That this is not the old show that you're just going there to see. It's an all new show called The Lion King Concert in the Wild. And there will be celebrity narrators kind of in line with Candlelight Processional and what they do with that. Mm-hmm. And then once the show comes to a close, which I think this is a really cool part, you're invited to do a street party in the Harambe area. Then there's going to be they're going to have more food and event specific merchandise and character appearances, and then they're also going to have a whole slate of Disney artists there signing their work, which I am a huge fan of Disney artists. Mm-hmm. Although we usually buy our Disney prints on clearance, we're not crazy. We don't spend crazy amounts of money on our Disney art, but we like Disney art, but on a budget. So we're really excited. We already have procured our tickets for one of the July events. So I can't wait to share all the news about that. The old show, Festival of the Lion King, absolute favorite show at the Walt Disney World Resort. I know it has its detractors, it has its haters, but just fantastic. Just the way that they engage the audience in that theater, and based on photos that I have seen, concept art of the new concert hall, the new Lion King Concert in the Wild, I really do think that they have gone on to make a major improvement. Major improvement one, by moving it to the correct area of the park, but major improvement number two, in bringing in for these performances, there's going to be a live orchestra, and just a totally new type of event. And this is the type of stuff that I really have come to expect from Disney, but have kind of been left disappointed over the last couple of years because they haven't done so much of this kind of stuff over the last few years in doing like huge events. They've done a lot of smaller things, but I'm really excited. I think it's gonna be fantastic. So after all of this, after everyone is ready to just go out and start the process of getting on board with this event, I guess we should probably also talk about ticket prices. So, ticket prices kind of steep, but once again, remember it is an all-inclusive event. $119 is the general admission ticket, and that's for adults, and $79 for children. So, whenever you consider that includes wine and beer and things like that, not too bad. But then there is also the premium admission ticket, which gets you like much closer seating and different kind of access and things like that. That is $134 for adults and $94 for children. So very exciting news. Can't wait to party down with the Lion King folk, and definitely hope Timon and Pumbaa are out for photo ops.
Yeah, and awesome. I guess unlike other events like at Epcot or Magic Kingdom, where you have to have park admission, and then you have the ticket price on top of it, this is this includes the admission. You know, it's just the admission to the event, so there's no park ticket piece that you have to buy as well.
Correct. Yep. So that's a great point.
Yeah, the other thing that's very cool is, like you were saying, Chris, is Disney has finally started to do these kind of extra events. They're trying to plus, I guess, you know, do extra experiences that you can do, because we get a lot of emails and from listeners about, you know, what can I do special for this or this event, or I've been to Disney before. Now they're doing these Epcot events and the this event here at Animal Kingdom, and they're coming up with all these little extras that are, you know, the Star Wars event that we talked about a couple of weeks ago. They seem to be
right
tackling that as well. So if you want to do something out of the ordinary, and they kind of come in all different price ranges and hit different target audiences, so it's kind of nice.
And I really think, like, I honestly think that sometimes Animal Kingdom is kind of like the park that is kind of like the stepchild, because, like, you really don't have a lot of special events and things like that there. And usually the park hours, especially in the winter, are very limited, usually closing at 5 o'clock on weekdays. I think to do things like this, because I really think with the expansion of Avatar, with the Avatar area going in, and the new theater in Africa for the Lion King show, I think Disney is finally starting to realize that it was time to add some new things to Animal Kingdom to kind of plus that park up and really kind of add some new and exciting things. Because when you really think about it, as far as attractions, that park has not seen a new attraction in
been a long time,
like 10 years, I think, maybe.
Yeah, whenever Everest. So, and then, so I think that park's definitely going to jump forward, because they're going to have this new nighttime show, which is going to be phenomenal. So people are going to stay late. They're going to stay late for that, because they're going to want to, you know, get their spot and do all that. So they're going to have crowds for that. And then they're going to have the whole new Avatar land that people are going to want to see.
Because I think the viewing area, I think they're going to center it around the large water area adjacent to Expedition Everest.
Yeah.
So, and I'm even, you know where how the, Disney dorks are. We are always thinking ahead. I can envision private event parties on the lower level patio area of Flame Tree Barbecue.
Yep.
Even.
Yep.
So,
that would be fantastic.
Yeah, because they have all that water area there, and then they'll clean that area. They'll clear that area out on the backside, and you'll have the Tree of Life right there in the background. Yep. We'll have all the seating at the barbecue.
You're oozing again, Chris.
It's going to be.
Am I oozing?
No,
oh,
Sharpie.
He was oozing.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Sorry.
It's so
Animal
exciting.
Kingdom enthusiasm.
And they'll add, you know, they'll add maybe some extra areas in there so you can see it. They'll kind of clean that area up, and then so they can get a lot of people in there. That'll be awesome. And yeah, and that area goes all the way over the bridge over to Dinoland.
Right. Yeah, tons of viewing area, unlike World of Color, which the Imagineers over-promised viewing area and under-delivered.
That would be pretty cool.
Yeah, I really think that they're going to do this in a very, very big way. And I mean, honestly, when you really think about Animal Kingdom, Animal Kingdom, I think, is what Walt had in mind on the Jungle Cruise. So I think Animal Kingdom is one of those parks that if Walt Disney were to come back today, he would look at Epcot and go, what is this? This is nothing like what I had wanted. But he would go to Animal Kingdom and say, this hits the nail on the head.
Yeah.
Because this engages people with animals and teaches about conservation. I love Animal Kingdom Park, if you can't tell.
And
like
you said, that's the only show that they can really put in that park, because it doesn't have fireworks, but it's still a spectacular
Correct.
Show. So you can do all the lighting effects and all the low level stuff and not really disturb the animals in the park. So I think it's a good fit.
And I really think that the Avatar area is going to take on a whole new life at night as well.
Yeah,
so I
cool.
think you're going to see Animal Kingdom become almost more of a late night park than kind of like a daytime park. I think there's going to be a lot of really cool things happening. So very, very, very exciting.
I couldn't tell.
Really?
You're
really,
so awesome.
Lisa?
You're so awesome, Chris Sharps.
Chris, I wasn't even excited until you started talking about it. Now I feel like I got to book it. I was
I'm still not excited.
Come on. Yeah. I'm pretty excited.
You know what? We're going to leave Chris Wood and we're going to take Chris Sharps.
Chris Wood's
just... I actually love Animal Kingdom, but I kind of like it the way it is. I mean, it's really one of my favorite parks. I think there's a ton to do and it's pretty and everything, but I don't know.
You don't want everyone else to realize it and then destroy
it's
your
It's my
your
secret.
Park.
It's kind of like Disney California Adventure is really the best park ever.
It's a nice
park.
But
not everyone knows that.
Yeah.
Because there really aren't many like zoo type of parks that will get you as close to animals as what you can. Like, if you've ever been back on the the Maharaja Jungle Trek, like, the way the tigers get so close to you is just amazing. I mean,
it's just beautiful in there, too. That's the only thing we did. That's all we did when we were in there.
I have to tell you guys how incredible our room was at Animal Kingdom Lodge.
Oh, for the love.
No, seriously, she's absolutely right.
I could not have a conversation with them.
I know. We were at Animal Kingdom Lodge, and we were the last room. Like, we weren't the last room in the hallway. We were the end cap. And so picture the hallway goes and goes, and you literally, it's not, your room isn't to one of the sides.
It's like a hammerhead end cap on a.
Yeah, and you go straight ahead to your room.
Yeah.
Wow.
So
that is out there.
It's called a standard view. Too.
It is a standard view. We had a standard room, and we had more animals than anyone. It was incredible.
It was unbelievable.
The zebras the zebras hung out. We had two zebras. We had ostrich.
We had all the giraffes.
All the giraffes. We had
four
of them.
Giraffes.
And they came close to us. They were as close. They were reaching over their little barbed wire.
That little
fence
thing
to eat some of the grass, and so they were right there. It was beyond incredible. And poor Lauren, she's trying to find out what's going on with the Mine Train event, and you know she jokes with me and says that I see a lot of squirrels just like up and squirrel, and now the new thing
My name is Doug.
Yep, and now the new thing is giraffe. So because
you like look out the window.
You look
and
out the window.
Like,
you're like, I can't believe there's a stinking giraffe
like,
outside my window.
And they're like looking in the room. They're like right there.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Incredible.
There was so many animals from that room
with the gazelles.
Yeah,
gazelles.
Thompson gazelles were all there. There was a whole.
We really couldn't get you out of the room. Like I would come down from my room, which incidentally had a savanna view and had
nothing.
No animals.
Yeah,
and
which was
I
a thousand steps
there.
Away.
I know. It was like on the opposite side, which is how I planned it, Lisa. You know.
You didn't plan it. You got moved.
I know. Well, I did. I got moved from, where was I? Old Key West? Yes.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's a whole nother story.
That's a whole nother story about me booking a studio and getting a 2-bedroom all by myself. But anyway, I would come down there and I'd be like, okay, let's go. And you guys would be like, look, giraffe. But come on.
Oh, my God. Every time I called them for something,
yes.
I was like, it was like a 10-minute thing, and then I'd get a picture of a giraffe. I'm like, Lisa,
though.
I'm trying to call you to talk to you about business. And she's like, oh, look, giraffe.
Yeah.
That's the excitement of Animal Kingdom Lodge.
That is so cool.
This was a truly magical room for us.
And that's what you can't get on booking a room on 192.
That is true.
I mean, that's when people are like, oh, I'm going to stay off property.
Oh, you're going to see plenty of wildlife on 192.
Yeah.
It was so incredible. If you want to know exactly where I was, write into us, and I'll write back, and I'll tell you our room number so you can ask for that specific
room
number.
What do you see? Like, maybe a drug mule. That might be the only animal you see on 192.
Oh, it was so incredible. And then those
a
big
drug mule.
Buffalo-like. They're not buffalo. What were those other things?
I don't know. There were so many.
Cattle.
Yeah.
They had the horned animals and then the big guys. And then they had those three guys that were standing right out front all in a row like dominoes.
It was.
Yeah,
the little piggies.
Oh, yeah. The pigs were out there.
Oh, yeah. We had
the
pigs.
The boars were out there.
And those birds.
The pigs were close enough you could actually see, you know, their little fur. And, yeah, they were cute.
That was a highlight of our trip. Anyways.
And how sad that was.
I've heard it's a boar.
Yes.
What would a podcast be without a pun from Sharpie?
So we should talk about how Lisa, okay, first of all, we should talk about how Lisa had a wonderful time at the Mine Train, but how she managed to get us some desserts, which was sweet.
Well, yeah.
So Lisa went to the Mind Train media event. That's why we were all down there, and we were staying at the Animal Kingdom Lodge looking at the drafts.
Don't even act like we were there for the media event.
We were not losers. We were
Lisa
not there.
Lisa was there for the media event. We were just hangers-on.
Yeah, I had my credential around my neck. I don't know about you guys.
We
as big as your head.
Yeah, it was. We evidently have to start a podcast that talks about discounts on paper towels.
Yeah. All the coupon queens were down there. Like Steve and I and Lisa were walking in the parks, and okay, we're just going to tell you, Steve was very depressed the whole time we were there because he didn't get into the Mind Train event. But that's another story. But we'd be walking past these people, and we were like, "Oh, who are they?" And we'd see their little lanyard, and then it was sad. But
then we'd look them up and find out who they are.
Then we'd look them up on Google.
What do I need to talk about dishwashing detergent to get a credential to get in here?
The bottom line is we need to figure out how we get invites to things better.
I know. I mean, in fairness, there weren't a ton of Disney bloggers. It was really like mommy bloggers, and I hate that term. Because it's a little demeaning, but that's who was really invited. And travel agency owners like Lisa and some of the bigger Disney bloggers were there, of course. Those people.
Yeah. But so Lisa got to ride the Mind Train.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
They had half-hour windows.
Yeah, we were given little placards that we could put onto our lanyard, and it designated the time that you were allowed to ride the new Seven Dwarfs Mine Train coaster. And I was so excited. I was in group one, so I got to go from 7:30 to 8 o'clock. And so I went immediately onto the ride. And, you know, just so excited, and you don't know where to look and what to do and what to take pictures of. And do you just get on the ride first, or do you try and film things? Because the queue line, of course, is interactive, and you want to see it all. But all in all, I did end up riding it three times. And I did spend some time looking at, the interactive queue. And so you get in, and I still think their whole queue line, even if they had some stuff hidden, it's not going to be long enough. They're going to have a queue line wrapping around to Beast Castle pretty soon. So the queue line has, the first interactive point is, it's almost like a video game it is a video game, where it looks like a trough of water with jewels floating down it, and you're supposed to grab the jewels with your touch, and you move it into its designated compartment so you match it up by color and size. And once you get all three in your compartment, ping, and it disappears, and then you start again. And that was really cool because you could have, you know, a dozen people playing this. And
that
it was
really fun.
It was. I have a short little video that I can show you. No, there's no water.
It's like video screen.
Video screen.
Oh, I thought it was like a water trough that it was projected into. Okay, gotcha.
No, it's a projected water trough.
Gotcha.
Order of words matters. Gotcha. So we did that, and that takes you around the corner. And then you go to the water. It's a little musical water instrument where, again, there's another trough and you have these little streams of water that will come down and play music, and they have different colors. So nothing happens if you're just standing there, but you have to wave your hand underneath it to activate the waterfall, the little water drops or streams. They're streams of water, and they light up, and it's beautiful because it's glowing the water in your hand, and then the music plays, and so you do that. And that was pretty cool to play with. That one is actual water, not virtual. Then you go inside the vault. They call it the vault. And this is where the dwarfs store their gems. And they have, right as you go in, 7 barrels full of gems. And if you paid attention right at the vault entrance, there was a sign that said, spin the barrels all at once and let's see what happens. You'll get a surprise. And so, of course, we all go and spin them. And you have images projected onto the ceiling of gems. But when you spin them for 2-3 seconds, that image will change into one of the 7 dwarfs. And then he'll disappear. So that'll be fun. You're going to have those images all over the ceiling, and it's pretty neat. Then you, that's the end of the interactive part, and then you just have queue line, and you get in line, and it's, it, everyone is saying that it's a cross between Barnstormer and Thunder Mountain, and it really is. It's mild enough for kids, but it does have speed, and it does have some hills, and I would say a lot of it is toned down to a good childlike level because of the new, the swinging carts that they have. It is so smooth. It is so stinking smooth. There's one part on the ride that I actually felt the cart swinging, but the rest of the time it's shock absorbers. It buffers everything that you do, and that's pretty cool. And it's a bit similar to out in California, the Cars ride, the Radiator Springs Racers, where you're outside for a period and then you go inside and you get a little storyline and you go slower and it's dark and you get to see all the seven dwarfs and their gems and their mining, and then it takes you up another hill and then back outside. So it reminded me of Radiator Springs Racers in that regard. And then you're done, and at the end you have the Seven Dwarfs Cottage where they're all singing and dancing, and you can see them dancing around, and then at the back door, watch for her, the evil queen is there, and as the old peasant woman, and it's cool. It's very cool. And then you can see the front of the cottage. The front of the cottage, beautiful. I want to move in. It is. It looks bigger than I thought Snow White's cottage would look.
Yeah.
Or the Seven Dwarfs.
And it's definitely a kid's, you know, it's aimed at families and kids to take, you know, so they would ride Barnstormer, and then when they got older, they would ride the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train. So it's 38 inches, I believe, to ride. And it has, we have a video, we have a point of view video, Lisa rode from the front and the back. So I'll put it at mousechat.net. It's also, I think, on our Facebook page already, but I'll put it in the show notes for the show so you can see it there as well.
I had a camera in each hand. I had my iPhone in one hand, then the GoPro in the other, and I'm trying my darndest. I had no idea how rough the ride would be, so I'm like death grip on these two things and going through the ride, and it worked out pretty well. And I actually like the perspective from the back seat when you connect. Well, actually, they're both good. The front seat, you get to see everything, and it's kind of exciting, but then from the back seat, you can get a different perspective.
Yeah.
I liked it. It was good.
So it's definitely, it's not Space Mountain if you're looking for an e-ticket ride. It's definitely a kid's ride,
and
family ride.
The height restriction on this, you have to be 38 inches tall.
Mm-hmm.
So most kids are going to be able
to get
on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you'll be able to do it.
It's an easy peasy.
And it's opening for the general public, what is this, January, February? 28th. March,
May 28th.
April, May. Yeah, May 28th. Sorry, I can't remember what month it is.
Wow.
Can I just mention that while Lisa was riding that, I beat Steve on Buzz Lightyear again.
Yeah. I was on the phone.
Well, I know who answers the phone when they're on Buzz Lightyear. So
when your wife
first
is riding Mine Train.
She was on the Mine Train. She's like, what do I need to do? And I was on Buzz Lightyear.
Yeah, I needed guidance on what he wanted me to do and get pictures of. And
yeah. It looks really cool. So it's going to be a great ride. So it's going to be open in a few weeks. Oh, and you can book fast passes. So if you're
booked. Yeah, you can book them now.
With a travel agent, call your travel agent and let them know that you want to add the Mine Train to your Fast Pass. Add that and the Anna and Elsa meet and greet Fast Pass, since the line, the waits for that are extremely long as well. Get both of those Fast Passes for Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Those are two to definitely have.
All right. So that's what I've got on the Mine Train event. They did have a nice dinner for us afterwards, and some characters walking around. They had all the dwarfs. You could do photo ops, and I didn't see Snow White. Maybe she was sleeping.
She couldn't get a media pass. she evidently didn't save 10 cents on her paper towels by going to the mommy blog. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Bitter
I'm really
much?
I'm surprised the two of you didn't hang out together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seriously.
She was playing, yeah. She was playing a Buzz Lightyear with us.
Okay. So, yeah. It was
still okay. Any day in the Magic Kingdom is better than, you know.
Yeah, and
okay,
we even said that because
okay,
it was.
We were sad.
Oh, it was fine. Although I was the one on the train.
No, it was awesome.
It rained most of the time that we were there, and we kept saying that a rainy, miserable day in Disney beats any sunny day anywhere else. And it's true.
It was kind of fun. We got to do food at our Flower and Garden.
Hungry?
It started to seem like I just ate a bunch of peanuts, actually, whilst you were talking. But, I mean, no, we had a good time. We got to go to Flower and Garden and eat in the rain. We got to go to Via Napoli, which you did not love.
Oh, do I get to review that?
Let's review it.
Blech.
Oh, come on.
My pizza was awesome.
How do you not
awesome.
Like Via Napoli?
Okay.
So let's start with Via Napoli.
Okay, Via Napoli. I'm not a big fan. I like non-authentic pizza. And they have authentic pizza with the fresh mozzarella. And, you know, they don't put a whole lot on there. It's not about the cheese for them. It's about the cheese for me. I want my cheesy pizza. I'm from Chicago. I want good pizza. So
you want thick pizza.
I want good pizza.
No.
It doesn't have to be thick. It can be a thin crust.
So
it can
good.
Be a medium. I don't care what it is. You know, the deep dish is nice, but it's what you do with the crust. And they don't do much with it. But that being
they
said...
They don't need to because it's like the perfect crust ever because they put it in the oven and they crisp it up and it's delicious.
It was fine. It was fine. But it's not my cup of tea. Saying that, I would 100 times over rather have gotten your pizza than my lasagna.
Yeah, because your lasagna was a little different.
It wasn't lasagna. Who makes lasagna without noodles?
It was kind of odd.
Are you sure the noodles were just not fresh? Because sometimes when I make mine with fresh noodles, they kind of blend into everything.
Well, it was like an all-white lasagna.
Yeah, I'm
going to
get
odd.
A description
like
for you.
It had
how
like a almost like a bechamel.
It had
noodles.
It was like a bechamel with spinach, really, and some cheese on top.
Yeah, I expected
that. I don't think I had a bite.
Well,
I
thought it was good. It just was not what you expect lasagna to be. And then, of course, the price tag is $22 for.
All right, I'm looking it
for
up.
For a square of lasagna. I thought it was still good. The Caesar salad we had was very good. The service.
The Caesar was good. Steve
service
and I got
was
sorry.
Very good. Yeah.
We got the lasagna and a chicken Caesar salad, and we split both of them. And the chicken Caesar was very good. Would have gotten that instead of.
Yeah, so we got a
chicken. I got lasagna verde, and maybe that means lasagna without spinach or without noodles, but I figured it was the spinach, meaning the verde green. White lasagna with spinach, parmesan, bechamel, and ricotta. Technically, it doesn't say noodles, but I was expecting noodles, and shame on me.
You should have gone with the margarita pizza.
I would have liked that better.
I think, Lisa, I think you would have been happy with that kid's portion of spaghetti and meatballs because the marinara they have there is excellent. And those meatballs are really mild. They're very good. And a ton of pasta.
Yeah.
So for a kid.
All that being said, I think anything on the menu would have been more satisfactory to me than this lasagna verde.
I had the pizza and it was really good. Yeah. I don't like, they have a sister restaurant in downtown Disney in Disneyland, and they do the toppings better there. They actually cover up the whole pizza. One thing I haven't liked about Via Napoli is they'll cover like 2/3 of the pizza. Well, I'm an American. I kind of want my pizza all the way covered. So I asked her to, you know, be a little more generous with the toppings, and I thought it was perfect. I couldn't finish it.
Oh, there was so much pepperoni on that.
It was yummy.
They did a good job. I think that restaurant is nice because we didn't have a reservation. We walked in. We had maybe a 5-minute wait.
10-minute wait, yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
10.
So, and then our service was excellent. Mm-hmm. Like Lisa said, or like Chris said, we got, you know, she said, hey, I want to make sure I have enough toppings on my pizza.
She kept checking in on us.
Checked, yeah, and they did a really good job with the pizza. They checked in with us. The lasagna, I think, was cooked the way it was supposed to be and the way it's supposed to be. It's just that. It wasn't what we were expecting, but I thought it was good. It didn't, you know, it didn't taste bad. It's a nice dish if that's what you're looking for. It's just when you have something in your mind and you think it's going to be traditional lasagna and it's not, then, and it's pricey, but
fluffy.
But we looked at the other
Tutto Italia,
and the prices there were even higher. I mean, I think it was, and we got in and out. It was pretty nice.
We tried very hard to experience something new. Chris wouldn't do hibachi, And then we looked at Italian.
I don't trust it. It's not clean.
I don't love the hibachi anyway.
I just feel like they cannot possibly get those big griddles clean enough for my satisfaction.
We are so bringing you for hibachi.
The kitchen is cleaner?
I'll do hibachi if you show me that they clean it properly at night and in the morning as well.
They clean it after every use.
And then it seems like there's always like stray pieces of rice. I don't know. It's just, can I have everybody? Lisa and Lauren are very picky about food. This is my only picky food thing. I'll eat anything else except for that, and I won't eat at Marrakesh.
Okay, Chris, this summer we're taking you to hibachi.
Okay.
Have to go, and you have to love it.
Okay.
You want me to book it?
No, she's going here. We've got a hibachi place.
Yeah.
Is it near your house?
Then I can't come.
Lauren, you can come. You just have to get to Atlanta.
Well, it's kind of far for me, though.
Oh, Lauren is not going to like this move.
I know, right? It is going to be a little weird. For people who don't know, because that's like everyone, my husband's job is in Atlanta, and it's here, and we're going to Atlanta, so we'll be a ways from you. I think we're going to be in Marietta, so.
Okay.
Not so far that we can't have hibachi.
We're going to have hibachi.
Or podcast together once or twice. That might be fun.
Oh, we have good interaction when we're together. Those are the best shows.
Yes.
Okay, so we need to move along because...
And I'll bring candy.
Stop with the candy. I got a package today, and in it was, what, a dozen, 15?
Yeah, I'm still not happy about this, by the way.
Pralines, homemade pralines, and they were just delicious. Thank you, Chris.
I had a lot of nuts. I still have about 4 cups that I need to get rid of, so... Oh, I hate that.
Chris, we've got some new stuff going on at the Polynesian. What is happening?
Well, recently we saw some blueprints that are showing that there are actually going to be some additional buildings built. They're going to be, is it two, Steve? Two really big buildings. They're going to be totally DVC. We already knew that they were turning over a couple of other buildings to DVC.
Mm-hmm.
And Lauren was actually right. They're building about, what, a dozen of those bungalows out in the front. So we kind of all knew that. But I guess they're taking down the waterfall and they're replacing that.
In the lobby.
In the lobby, sorry. And there's also going to be a Trader Sam's, which should be exciting. And they're changing the name back to the Polynesian Village Resort. So
that was the
original
name.
Yeah, when it opened.
Well, and honestly, it looks, if you look at the drawings, it looks like it's going to be more DVC buildings than hotel rooms.
That's what we thought. We were like, holy cow, there's a ton.
Yeah, there's a ton.
But just because they're DVC or designated DVC doesn't mean that you can't buy them with cash.
No, but it's also really spread out.
Yeah, they will be more expensive.
On the complete left side of the resort, on the right side of the resort, and in the front of the resort.
Mm-hmm. If they sell, you know, because the availability with cash rooms is all based on what they sell.
Mm-hmm.
If they sell that resort out really fast, if they sell all those rooms, then you won't be able to get those rooms for cash.
Right.
Well, but as long as owners are trading out to other resorts,
right, that's
that
true.
Will leave inventory there. And Disney actually holds... The Central Reservation Center at Disney actually like buys a percentage of each DVC resort. So they have a portion of the resort that is held back for cash reservations.
For cash. Mm-hmm.
But they've told us, or the rumor is apparently that they won't use, and I don't know if this is true, that you won't be able to use those or get those bungalows for cash.
I believe that.
I think that's true.
I think so too.
Well, they're very limited.
They'd be smart to do that.
Right.
Yeah, because there's only 12 or something. There's less than 20 of them, it looks like. There's not very many of those bungalows. The bungalows look very cool.
Yeah, it does look like there's going to be about 20.
And I can't wait to see the new... So they're going to have a new pool. The new lobby looks nice. I was skeptical, but the concept drawings look pretty cool. It's, you know, just...
look nice and clean and new and open.
I think,
I'm excited about that.
I hate to lose the fountain, though.
I know.
I mean, I understand why they're doing it, and I really do. I really do believe that the resort needed some updates, but I hate to see that central heart of the resort lost.
I know.
I think that, you know, when I first started going to the Poly, because when I lived in Florida, I never went into any of the resorts.
You didn't like Poly when we first met.
Yeah. So when I first started going there, which was just like maybe, you know, 5 or 6 years ago, I kind of hated it. But eventually it grew on me. It was kind of like, I love the sort of shabby retro look to it. But it was really outdated. So it would be nice to see what they can do with that space. It's not that big of a space.
Well,
so.
Wait. Now we're what not going to think about
Well, it'll look
Greg
a lot
Brady.
Bigger once they get rid of that. Because that, right? that water feature takes up a huge amount of space.
It is huge.
You don't realize how big that what is, I think.
It's huge.
What about?
I'm sure it's going to open it up a little bit too.
Oh,
I'm sure it's going to make that lobby look huge.
It's going to look totally different.
What are they taking out for Trader Sam's?
I don't know. I heard the Weiland's Galleries or whatever I heard that is gone. And then I heard over there, there's like
that's been gone since the middle.
They
of
They could
February.
Take out that. I mean, they need a pretty big space for Trader Sam's.
And then there's a shop or some other area that Brett from WDW Fanboys was saying is now just a wall of glass mirrors, and he forgets what was over there, but there might be space behind there. And then plus you're gonna have this huge lobby that you could actually creep into. But Trader Sam's is a it's kind of like a tiki bar over at the Disneyland Hotel in California, and it's got this amazing outside area with tiki torches and all this tropical foliage. And then inside is this kind of adventurer's club bar, tiki bar with, you know, it's nice and dark and little alcoves to sit in. And then all kinds of different things happen in the bar when you order different types of drinks. So there's all kinds of fun little things that are always
happening. It's like interactive almost.
Yeah, it's not like Adventurer's Club, but it's, you know, you order a certain drink and then something happens behind the bar or the bartenders do something. Or when you look out the windows that are these fake windows, different scenes happen. It's pretty cool. So if they take that to another level.
Which they should be able to.
Yeah, and make it bigger. I think one of the things that they said they're going to do is they have this giant oyster. And I guess the oyster opens up and your drink comes in a pearl-shaped glass and it comes out of the oyster's mouth.
Nice. It would be nice if there was enough seating in it, because the problem with the one at Disneyland is like there's nowhere to sit.
It's very small at Disneyland. The outside area at Disneyland is huge, everybody wants to sit inside in this cool interactive thing. And it's very small. So I think hopefully they'll address that issue. And plus it's the Disney nerd hangout at Disneyland. So, everybody
that's
goes.
That's going to be the problem at World now.
Yeah. Everybody goes for the meetups and, you know, Friday night and they,
so that's going to be our new hangout.
It is the hangout at Disneyland for
Chris
everybody.
Chris Wood won't go unless they have Cronuts.
We'll have to bring them from Epcot.
Ooh. Can I tell you that they have Cronuts now at Animal Kingdom Lodge in the quick service there? It was terrible.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They didn't
that was
know
greasy.
And it was What's like that? $4.50 for a donut.
It's one of those things that cannot sit around. It has to be served immediately.
Warm.
It was overcooked. And it was so bad, I was like, Steve, you want some of this Cronut? No.
I don't remember being offered any.
You were offered. Maybe that was before you sat down.
It wasn't that bad.
Yeah, apparently. I see how it is. You know what? I think, Chris, I think your Polynesian story is done, and we need to go over to Lauren's story. Cronut Hog.
I thought you went out. Oh.
Lauren, do you have another wonderful thing to tell us about that has been released?
I do. Disney has released the Halloween party, the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween party dates and pricing. Interesting. It's actually starting on September 1st and it ends on October 31st this year. No November 1st date, which is a unique thing this year. Pricing is averaging roughly $62 to $71 per person for an adult and $53 to $66 for a child. So a little bit higher than it was last year.
And that depends on the date that you get.
Yeah, it depends on the day. Like if you go Halloween, you're getting that $71 one. Actually, Halloween is $77. Wow. But yeah, so those have been released. You can purchase them now. You can purchase them on Disney's website, or you can call us if you have a reservation with us, and we'll be happy to do it for you. And then Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party tickets were also released. And you can also purchase tickets for them. The dates for that are starting November 7th, and it's going to run until December, what's the last date? 19th is the last date. And those ticket prices range from $62 to $74 for adults. And then $66 to $69 for children, $71 for children.
Yeah. Those parties are great. If you haven't listened to our previous shows, or if you haven't been to Disney World for the Very Merry Christmas Party or the Halloween party, there's
the
some
parades are worth going for.
Yeah, the parades are amazing. The fireworks show is amazing. The reduced crowd levels because it's a special event, so you can get on the rides.
The dance parties.
Yes, yeah. Lauren loves her dance parties.
It's a nice way to, and plus it's nice and cool in the evening in October, so you're not in the hot sun. It's definitely a lot of advantages to just spending the day at the pool during the day and then going to the party at 4 o'clock. They actually start at 7, but they'll let you in at 4 with an event ticket, and it's definitely worth it. We try to do it either Halloween or Christmas every year if we're down there.
Oh, and the good news, you can link these tickets to your Magic Bands.
Mm-hmm.
That's shocking.
You can't get fast passes, though.
No.
Yeah, because usually during the party event, the events during that time frame, the fast pass system is turned off.
I just said that you're not going to need the fast passes, but keep in mind that the public is still there until 7 p.m., and then they get kicked out. So from 7 to midnight... At 7 to midnight? Yeah. 7 to midnight, you are going to have a lot better access to the rides.
Yeah, so this is if you want to do Mine Train, you want to do Anna and Elsa, you want to do those things that have crazy wait times, book one of the parties.
Do you think Anna and Elsa are going to be out?
They're at the meet and greet at the Princess Fairy Tale Hall. All the rides are open, usually.
Okay, they better be.
No, not all the rides.
Majority of the rides.
Because they use the Tiki Room as a location.
Yeah.
So that ride's not open. I don't know. I'm just saying. They may not have that open.
Progress isn't usually open.
Yeah. I know. It stinks.
You can get on that anytime, though.
It's just such a bummer when there's no Great Big Beautiful tomorrow.
I know. Isn't it?
It'll be a Great Big Beautiful the day after. That will wrap up this week's show. I'd like to thank PixieVacations.com for sponsoring the podcast. I would also like to tell you, if you have questions or comments for us, you need to send them to us at comments@mousetrap.net. If you like our shows, you can go to iTunes, and you can also go to mousetrap.net and download our shows there. Thank you for listening, and join us again next time on Mousetrap.